You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
49 cents and 24-month special financing. The hardwood flooring sale is going on now. Visit lumberliquidators.com to find a store near you.
Governor Andrew Cuomo is marking the 25th anniversary of the Americans with Disabilities Act by signing two new laws strengthening protection in New York. One deals with barriers at places of public accommodation, and the other applies to military family members with special needs. Meanwhile, a street festival was held in Manhattan yesterday that drew a diverse crowd, including Tom Walsh of Roundabout Theater Company.
Anyone, whether it has limitations to a wheelchair, canes, walkers, can come into our houses and see our Broadway show.
Many cultural institutions were eager to spread the message that their doors are open to everyone. Ellie Shiva-Zierra of the LES Tenement Museum says theaters and museums want everyone to feel welcome.
As a cultural institution, it is your goal to bring your message to everyone. It shouldn't be only people who can walk or only people who can see.
The NFL is changing the way game balls are prepared and monitored this season. According to Fox Sports, the league told officials this weekend that there will be new procedures in place for the upcoming year. Changes include the documentation of pregame pressure readings, as well as random checks at halftime and rechecks after games. This is USA Headline News.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-479-2697. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-479-2697.
Funeral arrangements for Bobby Christina Brown are still being ironed out, but as Sarah Lee Kessler reports, the daughter of the late Whitney Houston and Bobby Brown will likely be buried in New Jersey.
The funeral could be in Atlanta, as Bobby Brown reportedly prefers, or it could be in Newark, New Jersey at New Hope Baptist Church, the site of Whitney Houston's funeral in 2012. That's where Bobby Christina's grandma, Sissy Houston, worships and sang in the choir for decades. That's what the Houston side prefers. But showbiz411.com is reporting there's little doubt Bobby Christina, Brown and Houston's only child, will be buried next to her mother. Whitney is buried at Fairview Cemetery in Westfield. Sarah Lee Kessler, New Jersey.
There's a new breakthrough cholesterol drug for people who have abnormally high levels of LDL or bad cholesterol that can't be lowered enough using statins. Dr. Henry Ginsberg of Columbia University in New York was a lead researcher on the drug called Praluent.
This drug is a tremendous breakthrough and nearly a miracle for people who have a genetic disease called familial hypercholesterolemia, who have LDL cholesterol levels four times often as high as other people.
The drug is the first in a new class of biotech medications that's been shown to lower LDL significantly when used in conjunction with statins. The FDA has approved Praluent for people who have abnormally high levels of LDL because of heredity and for patients with high LDL levels who have a history of heart attack and stroke. I'm Ron Taylor, and you're listening to USA Headline News.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Local weather here at 100andchamberradio.com. We're about 82 degrees outside right now. Today's possible scattered showers later on. Otherwise, mostly cloudy and again high in the mid-80s. Chance of scattered showers, thunderstorms tonight, only 30%, so may not happen. Tuesday, sunny, high in the 90s. Tuesday night, clearing, low in the 60s overnight. Wednesday looks to be the high point of the week. I will be in the 90s on Wednesday. Watch that heat index. Stay hydrated. Wednesday night, low in the 70s. Scattered showers possible on Thursday. Otherwise, sunny, high in the 90s. Thursday night, cloudy on the overnight, low in the upper 60s. And Friday, sunny and clear, and Friday night, clear. Stay tuned for Chef Bill's Table. Hey, welcome to the table here. Chef Bill, your host, and Chef Jake's in Flemington here, going on to 25 years. So we were on break last week. Also next week, fortunately, I have to travel again. That'll be it for the summer. It's been nice weather. We had the Balloon Festival this last weekend. Judging by some of the empty seats in the restaurants, that there were a lot of people at the Balloon Festival. So, great weekend for it. Summer's shaping up all right. Of course, all the produce is coming in now with a vengeance. So we're getting our nice stuff every day from the local farmers here out in Hunterdon County especially. So today, a couple of things. Our letter today is V, so we'll go into a couple of utensils and some culinary terms, beginning with V. Eating the week, of course, we missed last week. I'd throw a couple of days in there. The 23rd was National Hot Dog Day. Then 25th, Hot Fudge Sunday. So that would be I'm sure everybody's had already their share of hot dogs. Let's see, Bagel Fest was 26th, 27th today. National Scotch Day. Sometimes the beverages get a little nod there. One of my favorite treats, single malt scotch. The variety and the types out there are endless. Everyone's different. There's blended scotches, which a lot of people like for a steady, consistent flavor. But if you really want a treat, go for a single malt. They're all different depending on where they're made in the islands. Anywhere from peaty and smoky to, I've had some that taste very orangey. One in particular, the Talisker 10-year, has got a black pepper finish. Very, very unique. So, and scotch also makes a great drink. If you know somebody's a scotch drinker, the older ones, of course, get very expensive because of the time and money is tied up, 18, 21 years, plus there's evaporation every year, so a certain amount is lost. They call the angel's share. So, but for somebody that you really want to treat, that makes a great gift. 28th was Milk Chocolate Day. Most of us now are more into the dark chocolates, although milk chocolate's kind of the lead-in for all that. Also is National Hamburger Day, so I thought that's fitting last week. Hot dogs, hamburgers, Hot Fudge Sunday. Pretty good fare for the summer. The 29th, lasagna, which we'll go into today. One of our subjects, variations of it. Seems like it's maybe not the ideal summer dish, but we'll go over one that's made actually without pasta that would actually turn into a nice chilled vegetable terrine, if you will. 30th, cheesecake, national cheesecake, and cheesecake in all its forms, whether it's cream cheese, the Italian ricotta cheese. I've seen recipes using goat cheese, and it's still a sweet one. It's with a hazelnut flour crust, and then serve a little, maybe a raspberry sauce with it, which, oddly enough, the 31st is Raspberry Cake Day. And then the 1st of August is Raspberry Cream Pie, two raspberry days back-to-back. But now it's the height of, you know, the berry season. They're all out there, the blackberries, raspberries, blueberries. Mix them all up, makes a nice fruit, whether you just have just the fruit, or we make, we're making now, we do a blueberry compote on some pound cake with some fresh strawberries and whipped cream. Nice, simple dessert. You could also use an angel food cake if you can even keep the cholesterol a little bit low. And the 2nd is Ice Cream Sandwich Day. Now, these two come together. A neat thing that Madalena's Cheesecake, who we've used since we opened down in Ringo's, they have a product called a Chookie. It's a cheesecake cookie. And they were using them at fairs and events they went to. And we tried them and liked them. And it's an oblong. It looks like an ice cream sandwich. They make a Graham chocolate chip cookie crust for it. And it looks just like the ice cream sandwich rectangles there with the little holes in it. And then there's cheesecake, their famous cheesecake mixture in between instead of the ice cream. And we keep them frozen. We'll cut them into four smaller pieces and serve them with the three sauces. We do a chocolate mint. We do, of course, a raspberry. And then a caramel with a pinch of salt on. Kobe's kosher salt. A lot of people like the sea salt. So we kind of, for us anyway, at the restaurant, we've kind of combined this cheesecake and ice cream sandwich idea. Very, we put it out as a good shareable dessert. The cheesecake, of course, if you don't have to worry about it melting, that's the other part. You can take your time enjoying it because it's not ice cream. It's not going to melt. So today we thought, again, as I said a little while ago, the lasagna we'll explore today for recipes, techniques, variations, and also the raspberries. Since there's 2 days this week that celebrate raspberries, we thought we'd delve into a couple of neat ideas for raspberry. Raspberries, of course, not just for dessert. We use them also in savory dishes. Actually, we're going to, you know, we could do a vinaigrette, which is one of our V words here. We have, let's see, the raspberries. Oh, the summer pudding. That's always nice. One of our words beginning with V, utensils. That's just a couple. A vegetable peeler, of course, indispensable in the kitchen. And you have the swivel peelers that are just straight on a handle. There's some that have the peeler inside a kind of a half rectangle type shape on the peeler, a little bit easier to use. There's some that are just that kind of rectangle where you grab them with your fingers and kind of pull it towards you to peel. But we use the peeler, of course, carrots, firm vegetables to get the skin off. But also you can use the vegetable peeler as to cut ribbons, especially now with the summer squash and carrots. If you force down a little bit more pressure on the peeler, you'll get ribbons, especially the yellow squash and the zucchini. And this becomes something you can briefly boil and use as a pasta, or even just saute it if you're using a clear sauce. But a nice, again, no carbohydrate, gluten-free, you can make these pasta-shaped ribbons using your vegetable peeler. The other way, of course, would be very thin slices with the knife, cut it into strips with the peeler. Even though the slices aren't as even, gives you the thickness that you like. The other, the food processor, the original commercial one of those was called a vertical cutter. Same idea, but it's much, much bigger, of course, with the blade on the bottom and then to puree and whip things. The vacuum sealer now seems to be something more for home use. That used to be something left to restaurants to extend the shelf life on food, or if you're going to freeze something, you get the heavy bags. And the vacuum sealer, of course, takes the oxygen, takes the air out. So that's usually the enemy with storage, whether it's refrigerated or even frozen, your freezer burn. You get a little air in there, and the food oxidizes. It's not doesn't always taste that good. So the vacuum sealer, if you sometimes can buy things on sale, and then maybe you bought a family pack of something, you have too much, and you seal it up in the bags, and you can freeze it or refrigerate it for a few days. Restaurants, of course, will use it for seasoning, for cooking. They'll seal, especially seafood, poultry, things that need gentle cooking. They will seal them up in the bags, and then the sous vide cooking method, the circulating water bath, you put the product in there at the temperature that you want it to end up at, and it won't go above that temperature. So, especially when you want to not overcook things like chicken breast and seafood. Plus, you can put the seasoning in there. You don't need that much. It'll flavor the fish that's kind of marinating in there. So, those are the three utensils for the week. We've got to take a break for a couple of messages. We'll go over some ingredients / menu terminology with V, and then we'll get into our recipes for the week, Chef Bill's Table.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site, and we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
What can you do as a member of Rotary? You can eradicate polio. You can promote peace. You can feed the hungry. You can help children do better in school. Because Rotary believes that by working together, you can do anything. This is District Governor Megan Jones Holt. Learn more about Rotary and join me every Monday at 11 a.m. on the Rotary Hour, the show that is dedicated to answering the ultimate question of what Rotary is. Find us on the web at rotarynj.org. Rotary, humanity in motion.
If you're looking to get in front of thousands of new customers, connect with your current customers, you don't want to miss out on the largest business show in Hunterdon County. The 27th annual Hunterdon County Business and Home Expo, coming up on a new date, Thursday, November 5th, in a new location at Hunterdon Central High School in Flemington at the Fieldhouse in Common from 2 to 7 p.m. You surely want to sign up, you surely want to exhibit, something you don't want to miss. Contact the Chamber at 908-782-7115 or visit our website at hunterdonchamber.org.
At the table here. So letter V, found actually sometimes towards the end of the alphabet, it gets kind of tough to find terms. So something that chefs are using now, actually it's resurrecting a very old idea, verjuice, V-E-R-J-U-I-C-E. If you see that in a menu, that's a free run grape juice. So instead of using wine, and it's usually from unripe grapes or even crab apples. It's something, of course, very tart. And in areas centuries ago, that was actually used to add a little sharpness, tartness to food or sauces. Of course, then when lemons became popular, limes, other citrus, things like that, that kind of took over. But now, let's see, chefs, if you see verjuice on a menu, you know that's going to be a little acidic, a little tart, and brightens up the food. And if for some reason you don't want to use wine, and I've told people this before, a good, nice, mild vinegar also helps out. You don't use that much of it, but if you can't have wine or don't want to have wine, the vinegar or verjuice would be even better to use if you can find some. Vacherin, V-A-C-H-E-R-I-N, and that's a type of cheese, cow's milk cheese with a washed rind, kind of a little white rind. But in pastry work, if you see a Vacherin, petite Vacherin, it's a ring of meringue. And I've made little nests out of those, and what you have to do is dry the meringue. A little tough to pull off in the summer when it's very, very humid. Other variations of that, of course, you'd make flat discs of meringue on some parchment paper. You need to dry them in an oven at no more than 200 degrees, and it takes a couple of hours. You don't want just the dry shell on the outside. You want it to dry completely, then it's nice and crispy and crunchy, and it, of course, holds up for a long time. And the trick is to do it without browning the meringue. You want to keep it nice and white so it simulates this shape of the cheese and the white rind. Oftentimes a fruit compote or even a buttercream in between. So it would be layers, usually, of this crispy meringue. And again, nice to make a tort out of those because you're not putting any flour in there. It's just egg whites and sugar. As I say, I've done them with fruit, poached berries. You make a little nest using the star tip of your pastry bag and dry those out. Then you can fill them with fruit. Makes a nice light dessert. Vanilla, sometimes, you know, oftentimes we associate it with desserts. Very good with lobster, believe it or not, a little bit of vanilla. Now, if you see bourbon vanilla, and this is why I brought up vanilla, it's from the Indies, from the Indian Ocean area. Best vanilla is Mexican. It's an orchid. Pods are dried, they're boiled and dried until some crystals form, and then of course the aromas and everything start. So vanilla bourbon vanilla is not bourbon tasting vanilla, it's just a source. Now veal, what is veal? Kind of fallen out of favor, except of course in still Italian restaurants. Got a bad rap a number of years ago because of the way it was being produced. And normally the veal would be just the calf that just fed only on the mother's milk. And then, of course, our farm started using a protein mix similar to milk so they wouldn't have to, they could just fatten up the calf. So they got very big. Usually pretty watery, too. I think they grow too fast. What I used to use is free-range veal. And sometimes there is a grass. Like you want a young animal, a yearling, not over a year. And the grass-fed, people used to call it mystery meat because it's got a little pink tinge to it. But that's really, when you think about it, the way the calf should live, it might get a little bit of iron in the diet. That's where the red comes from. In your red meats. So a little bit of pink. We used it when we had Chatfields. We used to get it out of down south there. Jamie Nichol raised it. And it was like what you'd get in Europe. It was not just this pale, anemic-looking stuff. Of course, the veal is white because, there's no iron in it. So Just like pork is pretty white. They don't get the iron in the diet. But veal still, I mean, for me, it's very tender. And again, there was a lot of misuses. Younger generations now, you very seldom see it. biggest market, of course, is still restaurants. Then stores, it's very tough. Although, I like ground veal, either in a sausage, in a bolognese sauce, which we're going to use when we make our lasagna today. Also, a term called city chicken. Now, years ago, prior to the 50s, when chickens became a whole new way of farming them, you know, not really a factory farm, but, you know, just being able to produce in quantity, is city people didn't get chickens. Chicken, they'll promise a chicken every pot on Sunday. Chicken was pretty expensive. It was hard to ship, hard to, you know, obviously with the refrigeration and the perishability, just like seafood, you want to keep it nice and chilled, short shelf life. So city chicken became a term, and that was, many times it was pork, or it could be pork and veal or just veal, and people would put cubes of that on a skewer and bread it and fry it, and that would to simulate a chicken drumstick. In fact, out in L.A., they used to form them into a drumstick shape, the ground veal and pork, probably almost like a sausage, form them into the chicken drumstick shape, and then bread them and fry them, and that's what was served. This city chicken, veal and pork were much, much less expensive than chicken. Now you see how things have reversed. Chicken is the inexpensive dish, and veal is through the roof. Very expensive to get good veal. So just interesting how our food technology and the way we produce food has changed over time from the late 40s to now. But for me, the free-range veal, if you're going to have it, is the best. And the chops, of course, more flavor. Thin scallopinis are fine. They take on the characteristic of the sauce. But meatballs, veal and ricotta meatballs, again, gluten-free, very, very tasty. Veal, just a nice, finer grind, mellow flavor. So I say still can dabble in it a little bit. Again, free-range veal is a treat, very expensive. And if you're going to do that, get the rack chops, and you can either braise them, you can grill them. I like them best done alla milanesa, where you trim the fat off, leave the bone on, and flatten it out, bread it, and have it just with a simple arugula and tomato salad. That's just one of my favorite dishes, the veal with the salad. You got a little, you know, the little dressing on there, and then if you like a couple of boiled or roasted potatoes, if you feel the need to have a little starch in there. I think the potatoes and the arugula go well together, so something to try. Vegan versus vegetarian, I know I'm maybe oversimplifying it, but I understand vegan excludes all animal products, including honey. So if something listed on the menu is vegan, there will be no cheese, there won't be any dairy, things like that. Vegetarian, vegetarians will still usually consume cheese or eggs, honey, butter, just nothing was sacrificed for it. And our lasagna today that we're going to make, one of them is going to be a vegetarian one. Veloute, if something on a menu is described with a veloute, that's simply a thickened, usually a white stock. So it could be white veal stock, could be chicken stock, could be seafood. Thickened with a little bit of roux, which is your fat, your butter or oil and flour. Not brown too much. You want a blonde roux. It's used as a base for many sauces. Can be flavored. Also, if you know how to make a veloute, it's very easy to make a cream of anything soup. You have your veloute made with your broth and then your vegetable puree. If you like to add a little dairy, you can, but otherwise you have a nice base for a sauce or a soup. Venison, of course, if you see venison on a menu, know that it's the deer, and they're harvested now, raised just like cattle. Very good lean meat, actually, very low cholesterol. Probably should be something we have more of. The gaminess that people associate a lot of times with people that hunt, of course, when, you know, you harvest, for whatever lack of a better term, or, you know, you shoot an animal, whatever, the heart stops right away. The blood all stays in there. And that's where some of the gaminess can come from. The harvested ones are treated just like cattle. They're bled. The meat's very mild. Again, one of the best red meats you can have is venison. And you see vinaigrettes, which we're going to talk about, a raspberry vinaigrette today. And remember, if you see the vintage of something, vintage on a wine, it's the year the grapes were harvested. So it's in this hemisphere, or the northern hemisphere, it's always in the fall. Southern hemisphere would be in the spring, but it's the year the grapes were harvested, not the year that the wine was bottled. So that's by law. So anytime, if it's whatever year it is, that's when they were harvested. Sometimes they're not released for a few years, but that's what vintage means. We've got a break for news, and we'll be back at the table.
USA Headline News, I'm Ron Taylor. Republican presidential hopeful Donald Trump has more support right now among GOP voters than any of the party's other White House candidates. That's what a new CNN ORC poll shows, even after the real estate mogul's recent disparaging comments about Republican Senator John McCain's military service.
He's speaking out to people that are really frustrated with Washington, frustrated, I think, in many cases with both parties.
That's Republican National Committee Chairman Reince Priebus. He tells NBC's Today Show that it's still early and he expects more movement in the polls. Trump has 18% support among GOP voters. Celebrities are using Twitter to express their condolences following the death of Bobby Christina Brown. The 22-year-old had been in a coma for more than 5 months after being found unconscious in a bathtub at her home outside Atlanta, Georgia, in January. The Coast Guard confirms it has found a capsized boat belonging to two South Florida boys who disappeared during a fishing trip. Perry Cohen and Austin Stefanis were last seen Friday afternoon gassing up their 19-foot boat near Jupiter. The boat was found Sunday about 65 miles off the coast of Daytona Beach. This is USA Headline News.
Do you have trouble remembering names or where you left your keys? Ever feel like you're just in a mental fog? Over 140 million Americans over 40 suffer age-related memory loss. That's because, as we age, our brains stop producing vital neural peptides, making it harder to retain important information. In fact, by age 50, the average person has lost half their short-term memory capacity. That's why a team of neuroscientists created Cebria, a medical miracle shown in a double-blind clinical trial to dramatically improve short-term memory in just 30 days. Better memory and clarity can boost your career and help you enjoy time with your kids and grandkids. Call 800-413-8643 now to receive a full 30-day supply of Cebria risk-free. Dramatically improve your memory with Cebria. Just call 800-413-8643. That's 800-413-8643. 800-413-8643.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 and Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Mm-hmm.
we're back at the table, Chef Bill. So let's look at lasagna. Again, we said maybe it's nothing you really feel like making in the summer, but it's something that could be made. We can actually make it ahead, chill it, and serve it, especially this eggplant one. But traditional, even you could do a lighter one, and just something simple with a couple of vegetables, or the classic would be a ricotta pesto. And for this one, your lasagna, you'd actually cut them more like squares, like if you're going to make a ravioli. Some chefs do this too. They call an open ravioli, or they'll kind of just layer it. So you have the cooked pasta and have a pesto, which is your basil puree with a little garlic and pine nut or walnut in it, a little Parmesan, and the ricotta. And you'll just have the cooked pasta, spread a little layer of this ricotta pesto on it, another maybe make two or three layers. And you could just serve it immediately like that, with the hot pasta, the pesto, and bingo, you got it. But more traditionally, lasagna, we think of, you've got to boil the pasta and then drain it, dry it, layer it. You've got sauce, you've got ricotta cheese. Now, I like to use fresh pasta, the egg pasta, and that's, the purist will tell you that's the one to use. Some people do like to cut it into the wide strips and parboil it, and if you do that, you don't want to boil it for more than about 10 seconds. You don't want it to get too mushy. What I prefer to do with the thin sheets is just layer them right in the pan and let them cook in the sauce. You can also buy a dried par-cooked pasta that does the same thing, although it's very expensive, that you can just take right out of the box and layer with your ingredients. You don't have to do that whole boiling step. But the fresh pasta I found and did, you know, for years, worked in Italian restaurants, and that's how we made it. You put your sauce in the bottom of the pan. You want to make sure that you've got enough, you know, liquid in there. And actually what it helps do, it does absorb extra water. Sometimes the fillings get a little watery. And what I like to test for me is after the lasagna is out of the oven and it sets up, you should be able to slice it nicely and things should not really flow out of it. Now, my traditional one, of course, with the meat sauce and the ricotta, remember with my ricotta cheese, my formula is 1 egg to 1 pound of ricotta. That's going to give a little bit of structure when the egg cooks. That protein gives the ricotta some structure when it bakes, so it'll be firm. What we'll do is we'll take the ricotta, and I always season the ricotta also because it doesn't come with anything in it. So a little Parmesan cheese, a little basil, some white pepper, little garlic powder, if you like, or granulated garlic. It doesn't have to be over the top. And some fresh parsley. Now, if I'm doing lasagna, I'll also mix some of the shredded mozzarella into that also, even though we layer some in. Again, helps give you a little bit of structure. So I have a ricotta mixture, and this ricotta mixture actually would be good for making stuffed eggplant. It would be a good ravioli filling. We used to, in large Italian restaurant I worked in, we made just tubs of this stuff because we used it for so many different things. Baked ziti, you want a little ricotta in there. Again, you've got your ricotta mix. Sauce, I like to use that, I guess in the store it might be called a meatloaf mix or meatball mix. The equal proportions of beef, pork, and veal. Or at the very least, beef and veal. If for some reason you can't or don't want to use the pork. Pork's nice, tasty ground meat, very fine also. So I'll make a meat sauce with that, more of a tomato meat sauce type. Of course, with your red sauce, you brown the meats. And if that, between that and the ricotta cheese, now when I'm making the layers, whether it's a meat lasagna or even a regular ricotta lasagna without meat in it, I always take some of the sauce and blend it in with the ricotta mix. It kind of loosens it up. Instead of just plopping piles of ricotta and then squishing it down, kind of spreads it out a little more evenly. This is just what I've found works for me. It gives you a nice homogeneous filling, and it's nice and firm again when it's sliced. The traditional lasagna bolognese, the meat sauce there is not really tomatoey. It's more of a brown. It's kind of, my brother says, putting the milk back in the cow. But you have your ground meats, and again, veal and beef are good for this. Some onion, garlic, some mirepoix, some finely shredded or diced carrots and celery in there also. And we'll cook that down, add some white wine, and then some tomato. I usually use tomato paste, and then broth, meat broth. Could be chicken, could be beef. And let that cook. The meat's going to get very, very tender, just like when you make a good chili for hot dogs. You want it to cook a long time so it's you don't have chunks in there. And then you'll start adding milk. Now, a lot of bolognese recipes call for adding cream. Really good whole milk, and add it gradually, and let the sauce drink the milk back up. Now, in this kind of a thing, we would not use ricotta. We have this thick bolognese sauce. It shouldn't be real watery. And you'll have a bechamel, which is your white sauce. Milk, good whole milk, thickened with roux, seasoned, salt, pepper, a little bit of nutmeg. So you have this bechamel cooled off, and then you have, of course, your cheese. And this one would not take ricotta. Now, this would be, again, with the fresh pasta, a layer of bechamel, some of the bolognese sauce, your shredded Parmesan, and you make your layers this way. I would never have less than three layers. You don't want really more than seven or six, depending how much of the pasta you want to taste. Some lasagnas you want to be more of about the pasta. Sometimes you want it to be a little bit more of the filling. With the bolognese, probably you want at least four or five layers. So you're tasting the pasta with some of the sauce. So you have your bechamel and your rich meat sauce. Now the other one, the eggplant one that I would make, and we do it for Thanksgiving. It's kind of our vegetarian, and we actually make it gluten-free, is instead of the pasta, I use long slices of eggplant. So I peel the eggplant, cut it very thin, and you can either grill it, you can roast it. If you saute it, you could flour it and saute it. You could even bread it if you want, but I like to keep it gluten-free. So I just grill it with some olive oil, salt, and pepper. And my mix for that, of course, I have my red sauce, but I will take ricotta cheese, and for a pound of ricotta, I'll use 5 ounces of goat cheese mixed in with that, crumbled goat cheese, still one egg. Then I'll have chopped cooked spinach. I will have chopped roasted peppers, grilled portobello mushroom chopped up, and I will mix these in with the ricotta mix. And again, some basil is great in that, some Parmesan, and that will be my cheese filling. Use the eggplant as pasta, put your red sauce down, and start layering that cheese mix, a little bit of red sauce, and the eggplant. Now, I will finish it with the red sauce and some mozzarella, but this makes, if you don't use the mozzarella, bake it off till, of course, the that internal temperature is right, 160, 165, you know that the egg is set up. If you chill this down, and you could cut it into blocks and slice it, again, don't finish it with the mozzarella. You've got it really sticks together. You've got a nice eggplant vegetable terrine that could actually be served with a nice fresh chilled tomato concassate, just peeled chopped tomatoes with maybe a little salt, pepper, and basil in it. Be a nice summer dish. Then, of course, a white lasagna, one we used to run up in Syracuse, kind of our own little specialty thing. Fresh pasta, we use the bechamel, but we would use Gruyere cheese, which is the Swiss cheese without holes. So we'd have Gruyere and Parmesan in there. We would use crumbled sausage, of course we made our own, and cook the sausage with some white wine, give it some flavor. It's kind of like bolognese crumbles, if you will. So it was just the sausage, the bechamel, the Gruyere, and the Parmesan, and we made several layers with that. Baked it, and then on top of that, again, came a chopped tomato concassate instead of a sauce. You don't even have to heat it up. You could put it on there cold, but very nice, little lighter version of lasagna, just little sausage and cheese. We've got a break for a couple of messages, and we'll come back and talk about some raspberries. Chef Bill's Table.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntingChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, Law Offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Okay, back at the table, Little Deacon Blues winding down the show here. One of my favorite songs. Love Steely Dan. Maybe you couldn't tell that. So raspberries, what are we going to make? Obviously, the berries now, full season, full bloom. Raspberries have that nice and sweet, tart characteristic that makes them also good for savory dishes, and of course raspberry vinegar we use in for our beet salad. We use orange juice, raspberry vinegar to make a vinaigrette for that. You can make your own raspberry vinegar if you have good white wine vinegar. Crush some raspberries, especially say you have some that already got a little crushed or maybe a little old, and a little bit of sugar, and let those sit for a week or so. Vinegar will get nice pink. You strain it, and then you'll have something nice to use for your salads. A little different, especially poultry salads. Very good combination. Back in the 80s, the raspberry was, all of a sudden, many chefs kind of discovered it. We did a chicken with a raspberry sauce, and use raspberry vinegar and some shallots, and reduce that, add your stock, reduce that down again, a little bit of cream, and garnish with some fresh raspberries. That was always a nice sauce for chicken. Coughing fit there. Drying out here. Got to get some water. Anyway, summer pudding. Probably seen this before. I remember seeing it years ago on that Great Chef's series. I think they might have even used frozen raspberries. Frozen raspberries are fine. The juice will come out of them. But this one is kind of the mix of berries. So total you need about 8 cups of berries. I'm saying 2 cups of strawberries quartered. 2 cups of blueberries, 3 cups of raspberries, and a cup of blackberries. Blackberries are kind of in the same family as the raspberries. Or you could use all raspberries. 3/4 of a cup of sugar. You need a half loaf of stale, firm white bread. Probably, maybe about 10 to 12 ounces, let's say. So you're going to trim the crust from the bread and slice it. First, we're going to soften the strawberries and blueberries just in a kind of a heavy saucepan. Just warm them a little bit so the juices start to run. And then add the other berries and the sugar, and then just heat it enough to make it runny. You don't want to cook them too much. Then you're going to strain this and save the juice, save the fruit separately. Again, you don't want to cook it so the fruit's all collapsed. You just want to get some of that juice out of there. So you take a bowl with steep sides, 6 to 8 cup volume, and you start cutting the bread in slices. You butter. Some people butter the bread. If you like, you don't have to. You'll take these slices. You put a good disc on the bottom of the bowl, and then cut the other slices in half. You'll fan the slices around the sides. Just do it. You, of course, save some bread for the top, but kind of get your enough slices already cut, and then you know how many you need to use. Now, what we're going to do is dip the bread, both sides, each of the slices in that juice that you saved, and put those back in the bowl. You know, line the bowl so it's pretty much filled with this dipped bread. Then you'll place the berries in the bowl. And then the top, of course, will get some bread that's been dipped also. So you want the whole thing kind of, all this fruit kind of sealed up in slices of bread. Now you save any juice that's left. You're going to use it the next day. You'll cover this with plastic, and then you'll set a saucer on the top of the bowl that's the same diameter as the top of the bowl, because it's going to sink in there. You want to, you're going to have to weight this, so you put maybe a can of tomatoes or something, just enough to kind of press the fruit into the bread. You're going to chill it overnight, and then the next day, you'll just run a fork around the side of the bowl, invert the bowl on a plate, and you pour the juices back over. If there's any bread that doesn't look quite dark enough or juicy enough, just put some of the juice back over and just serve it with some whipped cream. And that's called summer pudding. I've seen other versions where they'll layer it with the bread, and some people do lightly butter the bread. Not necessarily, again. Again, white bread, berry puree. You can layer that, and again, the idea is to press it so the bread kind of soaks up all the juice, so it almost disappears. And when you're cooking the berries, that little bit, again, the sugar, I'm saying 3/4 cup, but depending on the sweetness of the berries, you may need to add a little bit more. And that's when you're warming those, that's when you'll taste it and make sure it's sweet enough. Other dishes with raspberries, again, I mentioned the petit vacherin before. You could do a little raspberry combo, or just fresh raspberries. But that raspberry sauce for chicken, you can also marinate chicken or duck in some raspberry juice, maybe with a little olive oil and some herbs, salt and pepper. Also makes a nice item for the grill, and then use some of that juice to make a vinaigrette. Nice poultry salad with the raspberry vinaigrette. And probably it would be nice to use toasted walnuts and some walnut oil. Put some little nut flavoring out. You know, just nice flavored oils and flavored vinegars. Kind of expand your horizon on vinaigrettes. Vinaigrette, of course, one of our V words. A salad dressing. But you'll see vinaigrettes now even serve warm. Not only with salads, very good with seafood. Some will call them broken vinaigrettes, where the oil and the vinegar you can see separated. To emulsify, of course, you can simply shake it in a bottle. You can blend it. An emulsifier, a lot of vinaigrettes call for a little Dijon mustard. That's a little flour that'll help emulsify. You could make a creamy one using almost, you're almost like making mayonnaise. You do a little egg yolk in there first with the vinegar, and then blend in your oil drop by drop so you get an emulsion forming. Other way you could do it is just make your emulsion first with the egg yolk and the oil, and then add some vinegar to thin it out. But either way, enjoy your vinaigrettes. Enjoy your raspberries. Summer pudding, of course, again, berries are the way to go right now. A raspberry charlotte, also kind of a little more complex than that. You'll take a sponge cake and spread it with the raspberry jam and roll it up like the old jelly roll. And then you'll slice those and line the bowl with those and then make a raspberry mousse. You've got your raspberry puree, some whipped cream, a little cassis, and that would be packed into the bowl that's lined with jelly roll cake, and then you could freeze that. That would be something also nice to serve. So we've got to run. I'll be on Rewind next week. I got to travel again north to see the family, have a little summer fling. Remember, Jake's Sunday Buckshuck Oysters, dollar oysters, $5 craft beers. We're still continuing with that. Coming on a year now. We started it last fall. And also, we're running lobster cob salad, great new item, and of course, lobster sliders. So if you happen by, we're open every day. We'd love to see you. Chef Bill signing off. We'll catch you in 2 weeks live. HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Headline News. I'm Ron Taylor. Republican presidential hopeful Donald Trump has more support right now among GOP voters than any of the party's other White House candidates. That's what a new CNN ORC poll shows, even after the real estate mogul's recent disparaging comments about Republican Senator John McCain's military service.
He's speaking out to people that are really frustrated with Washington, frustrated, I think, in many cases with both parties.
That's Republican National Committee Chairman Reince Priebus. He tells NBC's Today Show that it's still early and he expects more movement in the polls. Trump has 18% support among GOP voters. Celebrities are using Twitter to express their condolences following the death of Bobby Christina Brown. The 22-year-old had been in a coma for more than 5 months after being found unconscious in a bathtub at her home outside Atlanta, Georgia in January. The Coast Guard confirms it has found a capsized boat belonging to two South Florida boys who disappeared during a fishing trip. Perry Cohen and Austin Stefanis were last seen Friday afternoon gassing up their 19-foot boat near Jupiter. The boat was found Sunday about 65 miles off the coast of Daytona Beach. This is USA Headline News.
Bob was miserable. His website was invisible, buried 3, 4, 5 pages deep. No one could find Bob's site, not his neighbor, 6 employees, or even the dog. Then Bob found Tizzible, T-I-Z-Z-I-B-L-E, the most powerful local search booster on the planet. Now everyone locally is finding Bob's website. Business is booming. Bob's happy. And so is the dog. Catapult your business on the map for customers searching for companies just like yours. Get Tizzible at Tizzible.com. That's T-I-Z-Z-I-B-L-E.com. T-I-Z-Z-I-B-L-E.com. Get your website visible. Get Tizzible.
Love the warmth and beauty of hardwood flooring? Then you gotta get to Lumber Liquidators Hardwood Flooring Sale. For deals on over 200 varieties of hardwood from just 99 cents. You could pay twice as much at other stores, but we've got gorgeous, pre-finished, easy-to-install chase oak hardwood from $189. Stunning wide-plank solid 3/4-inch espresso heavy for $299. Incredible deals on solid bamboo from